Hello and welcome to a special Valentine's Day episode of Musings on Golf, where you will hear lovely stories of family and an enduring commitment to help children from the great Barbara Nicklaus. My name is Kelly Elbin, and along with my pal Bob Bupka, we'll also look back at a WM Phoenix Open that actually may have crossed the line and look ahead to Tiger's return at the Genesis Invitational this week at Riviera. But Bob, it's Barbara Nicklaus who is our star today.
Well, I have to thank Barbara Nicklaus because I spent my whole life always hearing about, boy, it was like being on cloud nine. And I never knew what that really meant. But I found out when we had the opportunity to sit down with the one, the only Barbara Nicklaus. I mean, there's a lot of males that have done tremendous things in golf, and there are other females that have done things. But the entire package of what professional golf and what being a mother on tour and being a wife on tour really mean, our listeners are going to find out firsthand from the one and only Barbara Nicklaus. She was absolutely fantastic.
She was. She has been so gracious throughout her life, really, in being by Jack's side and in raising five kids and in giving back to so many lives through the Nicklaus Children's Charity Foundation. And she was gracious with her time with us. And it really was a terrific interview that the people are really going to enjoy. Hey, Bob. It kind of had a perfect storm in Phoenix last week. You had more than an inch of rain, huge crowds as usual. You had a lot of mud, therefore, because of the rain, and people couldn't maybe sit or locate themselves in certain parts of the golf course. So they had some condensed areas, and they shut the gates early on Saturday, and the players started hearing some things. I'm sure some people saw the Zach Johnson kind of face-to-face he had with one of the fans. It's a great event. It's on the edge all the time. And my sense is that the organizers, the Thunderbirds, will do some things to maybe rein it in a little bit. They've got to make sure that you keep getting the quality fields that they get every year.
Yeah, I mean, the Thunderbirds are just a simply over-the-top outstanding organization as far as running tournaments. And their desire has been to make it a fan experience like none other. But as you attempt to achieve that, you run the risk of maybe letting it get a little too far, maybe allowing a little too much alcohol to flow. But yeah. I got a lot of confidence that they'll rein it back just a little bit, and it'll continue to be one of the stops on the PGA Tour, that's for sure.
Well, it's a unique event. There's no question about it. And not lost in it at all was just another terrific play down the stretch by Nick Taylor, the Canadian winning for the fourth time on tour. Bob, his last six approach shots in regulation were all within 15 feet of the hole. He made five of those putts, birdied two of the last three holes, and then he won with an 11-foot birdie on the second playoff hole to beat a really tough luck loser in Charlie Hoffman, who kind of looked like he had it. But boy, Nick Taylor, you saw what he did last year in winning his National Open in Canada. This guy in the clutch, Bob, he's won at Pebble Beach. He's a really ascending quality player.
Yeah, absolutely. And Charlie Hoffman had so much at stake. Don't forget, he's 47 years old. You don't get many opportunities at 47 to get in that winner's circle. And of course, his title sponsor for I don't know how long now has been Waste Management, and Charlie has so many friends within the organization. I know he wanted to win for all his buddies at Waste Management. He played really well, but that putter of Nick Taylor, when we look back, we see that 78 footer that he made in Canada to win the Canadian Open, the first player, I don't know how many years, I think it goes back to the 20s, before Canadian won that Canadian Open. Nick Taylor got the job done. And then birdie after birdie after birdie in this playoff system. Nick Taylor, boy, if it's confidence in your putter that gets you to win, watch out for Nick Taylor the rest of the year. You might have to say that he's got probably a better than good shot, even though it's tough, better than good shot, maybe, to win a major.
Yeah, why not? I agree. And here's what Nick Taylor had to say about what for him was, you know, maybe a relatively slow start. Boy, it all churned at the end.
Yeah, I didn't have it early on today and was just trying to hang in there as long as I could. It seemed like a bunch of guys ahead of us were making birdies, and to make a couple, two or three, kind of making the turn to kind of still stay in it. And, you know, the finish was pretty dreamlike. It was, you know, making all his putts by 82 was a lot of fun, and the atmosphere has been incredible all week.
Well, congratulations to Nick Taylor, and Bob, excited for him. And I know the golf community, the golf world, is excited to see Tiger Woods return this week at Riviera Country Club, where a golf course he knows extremely well, at the Genesis Invitational. Do you have any expectations? Do you have any initial thoughts as we're 2 days away from him teeing it up for the first time in 2024?
Well, it's so hard to place expectations on Tiger, because initially you think, oh, well, he's going to win by a mile. Then you start saying, well, look at all the physical ailments that he's had to overcome and hasn't been playing that much. And is he that sharp to beat the best golfers in the world? I think Tiger's expectation, Kelly, would be probably just to make the cut, even though he would never say that. I mean, he only shows up at events that he thinks he's positive he can win. What a story that would be in the world of golf if Tiger gets in that winner's circle at Genesis.
Hey, Bob, when was the first time that you actually saw him play live in person covering an event?
Well, I'm still recovering from it, to tell you the truth. It was at the Valero Texas Open, and the 18th green at that time was down the bottom of this huge, huge hill, and on top of the hill was the media room. So I was down alongside the green. Tiger gets finished. He's about ready to get in his cart, and I say, Tiger, can I get a minute with you? He says, sure, man, meet me at the top of the hill. So that cart started going up the top of the hill. I started chasing. I was only one length behind as we started out. Then it became two. Then it became three. And I think I finished about 20 lengths behind the cart. Luckily, crowds were so big at the top of the hill, he got in a log jam, and I was able to catch up to him and get my interview done. An interview I'll never forget.
Sounds like you were like the other horses with Secretariat going ahead of them when he won the Triple Crown, right?
That's what it felt like. Boy, that hill was steep.
Hey, a couple of sidebars to this week. Joe LaCava, who had been on Tiger's bag for a long time, is now permanently on the bag of Patrick Cantlay. So Lance Bennett, who caddied for a long time for Matt Kuchar, also had the bag for Sung J.M., is now the caddy this week for Tiger. And that veteran presence, I know, has always been important to Tiger. And the brand new Sunday Red brand of active premium lifestyle, outerwear, headwear, hoodies, they debut with that look for him. Nike is no longer, there's no longer the Nike swoosh, Bob, but we will see a logo. It's an interesting logo that's stretched out to look like a tiger and notes that there's 15 sort of spokes or pieces to it to denote the 15 major championships that he's earned. And he said, well, you know, he was asked, what if he wins another? And he said, well, just redo it and make it 16th. So, you know, always looking ahead, right? Can Tiger Woods get to 16 majors, Bob? Do you ever foresee that day happening, by the way?
No.
Why?
I would love it to happen. There's just too many good players out there.
Yeah. And because he's not playing enough?
Yeah, of course. He's not as sharp as he used to be. You know, realistically, forget whether he's going to win a major. You have to ask yourself whether he would ever beat Scheffler in a major. I mean, finish higher than just Scheffler. Forget the rest of the field. I mean, Tiger's going to give it his best. He's going to bring all the excitement that we desire. He's going to whet our appetite. I covered all 15 of his major championships. I would love to see him win number 16, but that's a tall task. We're going to have a guest, as a matter of fact, in the next couple of weeks, a gentleman, and I'm not even going to say his name, I'm just going to tease, but his objective in the near future is to climb Mount Everest. I think that's what Tiger's staring at right now. To win another major, it would be like him climbing Mount Everest.
Well, someone who has reached the summit of golf distinction, Barbara Nicklaus, you'll hear from in a moment. Again, we were so pleased to be able to chat with her, and And really the focus is on the huge heart that she has, Bob, the love that she has for her husband. They're in their sixth decade of marriage, and five children and numerous grandchildren and great grandchildren. And she keeps giving back. The day before we did the interview, Bob, she mentioned that there was an event coming up at Lost Tree, one of Jack's courses down here, where she said they expected to raise $1 million in a couple of days for the Nicholas Children's Foundation. That's the effect of Barbara Nicholas and Jack.
And during that interview, I credited the Nicholases with 22 grandchildren. Barbara corrects me and says 24. Mm-hmm. And I said, boy, they're not slowing down yet.
Barbara Nicholas will join us right after this from William and Harry, where the luxury lifestyle is meeting performance with the new and improved William and Harry golf shoes. Introducing the epitome of golfing elegance and performance from William and Harry. Immerse yourself in style and unparalleled comfort as you step onto the green with William and Harry's unique durable deerskin and calfskin masterpiece. Unrivaled in its water-resistant design, the new and improved WH shoe, which is also available in private label, ensures that you stay focused on your swing, even in unpredictable weather conditions. So elevate your game to where luxury meets peak performance. Step into excellence. Step into innovation at williamandharry.com.
When you make the best performing golf balls in the world, your biggest competition is yourself. And now the golf ball that sets the standard for every other has raised the bar again. New Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are longer and more consistent with unrivaled control. Outperform with new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Welcome back to Musings on Golf. Bob, Valentine's Day 2024 is tomorrow. And in the rich history of our game, the love shared by two remarkable people is what truly distinguishes Barbara and Jack Nicklaus. This Valentine's Day will be their 64th as a married couple. And for Barbara Jean Bash Nicklaus, it's been an extraordinary journey with the Golden Bear by her side. Barbara Nicklaus, happy Valentine's Day, first of all, and welcome to Musings on Golf.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to you. It's always a special, fun day.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. You've known through the years how special I thought you really are. I was thinking before we came on, you know, when's the first time I met your husband? Believe it or not, it was at the 86 Masters. And I was basically there, Barbara, to get some pre-tournament hype for the United States Open, which was going to be at Shinnecock that year. So after his round on Thursday, I'm waiting patiently, and there weren't nearly as many members of the media as now. And finally, Jack became free. I walked over and I said, Mr. Nicklaus, you mind if I ask you a question? He said, go ahead. So I said, I'd like to get your thoughts on the U.S. Open coming to Shinnecock, because right next door to where I grew up, Jack says, with those glaring eyes, and you know him well, Barbara, Shinnecock, I'm here to win the Masters. I don't want to talk about Shinnecock. I said, thank you, Mr. Nicklaus, and I ran away as fast as I possibly could, and he goes on to win the darn thing.
He's really not very scary, Bob.
he's been tremendous. You've been tremendous to the sport of golf. And one other question I really would like to ask, you know, when you were dating Jack and maybe as you thought it was starting to get a little serious and maybe a marriage was going to be in the future, did you go forward from that point with the knowledge that, you know, golf was going to be your whole life, or was that not the thoughts in your head at the time?
Golf really was not a part of any of that when Jack and I first met. We were both 17. It was our first week of our freshman year in college, and I knew nothing about golf. My dad was a high school math teacher. There was no golf in our family, and actually, golf wasn't really a big sport back then, and Jack was just kind of playing around Columbus, and I really didn't have a clue about golf, so when we started dating, it was just really a typical college dating.
So you had no idea what the future was going to hold in store for you?
Had no idea. In fact, we were actually married and had Jackie, our first child, before Jack turned pro. So we had, he was going to sell insurance. He was going to do this. He was going to do that. And it just kind of all happened all at once. And you just do what you got to do.
Well, nobody does do what you got to do better than Barbara Nicholas.
Well, Barbara, how did you and Jack actually meet in that first year? And where'd you guys go on your first date?
Well, it was actually the first week of our freshman year in college. And I was kind of walking across campus to the bacteriology building where I was working to pay my way through school. And I looked up on one of the steps of one of the buildings and I saw a girl that I knew from high school. We had kind of little high school sororities back then, and she was president of her sorority in her high school. I was president of mine at my high school. So I stopped to say hello to Mary, and she was up on the steps talking to Jack, who she was dating at the time. So she introduced me to Jack, and she had to go to class. So Jack walked me to the bacteriology department and called me up that night and asked me for a date. So kind of how it all began.
Where'd you guys go on the first date?
Oh gosh, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I'm really not sure. I'm thinking that it was a fraternity party.
Is that friend, ex-friend, still looking for you?
I don't think so. I think she was.
What a great switch for two people. how was Jack? Was he comfortable when he asked you to marry him?
Well, you know, somebody asked me how did Jack propose, and I don't think he ever proposed. I think he just handed me a ring and never said a word. I just put the ring on, and we just went on from there. No words, no anything, just okay.
How long had you been dating before you got engaged?
Well, like I said, we met the first weekend of our freshman year of college, and we were married between our junior and senior year. Jack made the Walker Cup team in our his sophomore year. So he was in England, but the night he got back from the Walker Cup, we got pinned. Mm. And then we got engaged a year later and married in 1960.
Well, it's an honor to be joined by Barbara Nicholas on this special Valentine's Day episode of Musings on Golf. Barbara, when you and Jack, you mentioned about Jackie, when you and Jack started to having kids, and wondering what were the challenges for you, particularly with Jack being on the road? Did you have family back at home to help with, I guess you'd call a support system while he was away?
Well, actually, we took Jackie with us most of the time. And once Jack turned pro, he kind of made a promise that he would never be gone longer than 2 weeks at a time because he did not want his kids to grow up not knowing him. And they certainly didn't know him when they all went away to college. They left their best friend behind. So he was a great dad. And we just, like I said, we took him with us most of the time.
That 2 weeks, Barbara, that's an extraordinarily small amount of time compared to what so many other guys. Heck, you'd have guys who'd be out there playing week after week after week. Was that something that the two of you decided on, or he just made that promise to you sort of, honey, this is what I'm going to do?
Well, kind of both. We saw some of the guys that were out there 8 to 10 weeks, and you know, their families back home all by themselves. And I guess we just kind of quietly decided this was not going to happen. And really, the only time that he was gone longer than 2 weeks, we took both sets of parents to South Africa 1 year, and we were gone 17 days. So a promise he made at age 22 was still going.
What was he like? You said he was a great dad for them. What was he like when he was around the kids? Just fun, loving, attentive, just being there, right, Barbara?
Just being there. He went to all the boys' basketball practices, football practices. He was a punter, so he would kick and, you know, think he's showing the kids what to do. And he was amazing. He flew up to Tallahassee to a state high school football game between rounds of the Mexican Open 1 year. And he flew to San Francisco to watch Steve in a baseball tournament 1 year. And it's really funny because the kids, I think, just thought that's what dads do. And now that our children are married and have families of their own, they said, Mom, I can't believe what Dad did. He said, he attended more of our sporting events than the kids who had local bands. So he made a big, made a lot of points with the kids.
Barbara, I was the youngest of five, and I know you remember my mother, Mary Elbin, Max Elbin, president of the PGA of America. And, you know, I often marveled as to how my mother raised five children and the challenges of being the wife of a club professional and the hours that my dad put in. I've got to think that over the years, there have been other wives of tour players themselves who have maybe asked you about, you know, what are the keys that for you for not only raising five kids, but, you know, growing as a couple through those years?
Well, thank you. It's been a nice compliment because a lot of the younger kids have come to me. And I think the first thing I tell them, Kelly, is you don't stop being a wife just because you become a mother. And I think that kind of says it in one sentence. You still got to support your husband and be there.
We're talking with Barbara Nicholas, and it's an extreme honor. I'm 99.9% positive I know the answer to this question, but I want to ask it anyway. if Jack had his choice right now, he could only have those 18 major titles or he could have those 22 grandchildren, what would his choice be?
Without a doubt, it would be the grandchildren.
I thought so.
Such a doting dad to our five. And like I said, when our kids went away to college, they knew who their dad was, which was great.
Do you remember we get back to 86 Masters. I have a memory that Jack was in that media center that Sunday night for an awfully long period of time. Ultimately, at the end, I have a memory of you being in there up on that podium with him. Am I fantasizing or did that actually happen?
Well, I think I was in there, but not on the podium.
Not on the podium. Jack wouldn't let you up there. He was too busy answering questions.
Like he probably would have.
How unbelievably special was that to have Jack on the bag? I know you've been asked this many times in regards to 86, to have your husband and your son on that most remarkable of final rounds. Is it something that you still think about it? You guys talk about occasionally of what was just an incredibly special day.
It really was a special day. It's kind of one of those where they say, who's your favorite child or what's your favorite tournament? And you don't really want to answer. But in that case, you almost have to say, how can it be more special than the 86 Masters? I mean, he was old. He was washed up. He wasn't supposed to win. Got his son on the bag. And Jackie even said to me, he said, you know, Mom, after Dad won, you know what he did first? He looked for me and came over and gave me a big hug. And I think that's the one thing Jackie will always remember about the 86 Masters. Maybe not some putts that were made, but the big hug he got at the end of the tournament.
For you, are you an emotional person by nature? Was that an emotional moment and day for you?
Well, you know, I started out not knowing anything about golf. And somebody said to me once, you look like you're at a tea party when you're out following someone on the golf course. And said, well, I guess I didn't know I was supposed to be nervous. But 86 was very emotional. And the galleries were so phenomenal. And so they just accepted him. So it was, if I had to say a favorite major, I'd have to say the 86 Masters.
And I answer the same way because arrangements had been made with the Pinkenon guards for the people that I work with that I was to wait behind the 18th green in that scorer's trailer there and then get close to Jack going up to Butler Cabin. So Pinkenon guards had him surrounded, but they held up their arms and let me in that circle. And I'm walking with Jack. I'm stepping on him. He's stepping on me. And I get two questions with Jack. And then I ran down to the Quonset hut there, the media center. And within minutes, it was coast to coast on the Mutual network. So my claim to fame was I was the first person to interview Jack after the 86 Masters. And to this day, Barbara, it's still probably my fondest memory in all of my career covering professional golf.
Oh, that's special. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, see, you hang around me, you find out things you never know.
And I actually went to the cabin with Jack this time. I don't think I've ever seen him putt out on 18, which I actually did not see at that turn. I'm there, but didn't actually see it. So that was a special thing for me too. So I had some silly special things happen at the 86 Masters.
Oh, what a year. And you know, no matter who you talk to, Barbara, Jim Nance, I could list 10 people connected with professional golf at the highest level. When asked what was the best major of all time, very few people hesitate before they say the 86 Masters.
Very nice compliment.
All right, Barbara Nicholas, I have some quick questions for you here. We're certainly going to talk about all of your charitable involvements in a little bit, but first, tying in with Valentine's Day, what is the most romantic gesture or gift, what have you, that Jack has ever done for you?
Well, I'm not really sure how to answer that, Kelly. I don't think either one of us, as you might say, is a totally like romantic person. Uh-huh. We just kind of look out for each other. And I think maybe one of the most special things, I mean, he's so generous. He's bought me all kinds of things and he'd never really ordered anything. And happened to hand me a box and it had a ring in it, a gold ring that was a bear and had the birthstones of our children in the bear. So probably doesn't sound real romantic, but it was so special and I wear it all the time still.
Do you and Jack have a favorite song, whether it was played at your wedding or one that you've enjoyed throughout the years that perhaps you might have a dance or two?
I think actually my favorite has always been Wind Beneath Your Wings. I think that's kind of how I've sort of thought about myself, that that's what I wanted to do, was be the wind beneath Jack's wings and just be able to support him and help him out. So that's always been a favorite.
Barbara, how about a best family vacation you and Jack took with your kids as they were growing up? I'm sure you were together a lot. Was one particular time away that stood out more than another?
I'm not sure when the kids were growing up, but when they were kind of half grown or almost grown, we took everybody to South Africa and we just had a fabulous time. We spent a lot of time with Gary and Vivian Flair. They have 6 children and we have 5. So we had an army before we had anybody else there, but, you know, visited some of the farms and just the kids had a fabulous time. They still talk about it.
It's a great place. I had the pleasure of being down there when Jack was the President's Cup captain. Now, you have done, in conjunction with Jack, Barbara, so much for charity. And I know there's a couple of hospitals that have been the focal point of your charitable work. How much pride do you take in all that you've done for the hospitals, not only in Florida, but out in Columbus?
You know, Bob, that's been such a blessing, and I've sort of been in charity work forever, and Jack has just kind of, you know, maybe watched or, you know, been very proud, but hasn't been involved. And when he stopped playing golf, he really has joined our crew, and we feel so blessed. It kind of all started when our daughter Nan was 11 months old and was choking and couldn't find out what was going on, and finally, the doctor said, Barbara, there's something wrong with this child. We've got to get her and get an x-ray in the hospital. Well, ended up she had inhaled pieces of blue crayon. So, of course, when they got in her windpipe, she choked and then they would move and she'd be fine. So they, in getting it out with the bronchoscope, they dropped a piece in her lung, which, of course, went into pneumonia. And she was in an oxygen tent and Jack and I are sitting there as young parents and we looked at each other. Said if we're ever in a position to help someone, we wanted it to be children. So that's kind of how it started, just a little family scare. And it's been such a blessing to see how many children we've been able to help at Nicholas Children's Hospital in Miami and Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus. So other hospitals beside that, but those are kind of our two babies.
That's all under the Nicholas Children's Healthcare Foundation, is that right?
It is, Kelly, yes.
Now, Barbara, I think you were born to help because I remember Jack showing up in Houston at the Insperity tournament and it was pink shirt day and Jack was the only one without a pink shirt. And when he noticed that, what does he say? Barbara, please go get me a pink shirt. And of course, you went and got him one, and he changed it right there in the interview room. It was delightful. I mean, here's Jack Nicklaus asking his wife, please get me a pink shirt.
Well, we try to help each other out.
Kelly, I'm sure you have some other stuff that you might want to ask. I'm in awe of talking to you, Barbara Nicklaus. And even though I've known you for so long, you've always been so kind, so gracious. It's like a huge thrill when I get to see you in person. Having the interview now, even a bigger thrill. So I'll leave it up to Kelly with any final questions. But from me, Barbara Nicklaus, thank you for all the years of kindness that you have bestowed upon me. Probably just about everybody you've ever met would echo those sentiments. Thank you, Barbara.
Well, I can thank you too, Bob. I always search you out when we get to Bearfield. So I'll be searching you out in a couple months, so you better be there.
Okay. I'll come find you and get a milkshake.
Perfect.
Barbara, that'll be in a couple of months, and obviously the Masters is, gosh, right around the corner. Was it last year or the year before where you walked out to the first tee for that ceremonial first drive with Jack? And what's that like? You seem to be beaming almost. It seemed to be such a special, unique experience for you.
Well, it was a big thrill that he asked me to be his caddy.
Yeah.
So, really done it with each of the grandchildren and had really gotten through our list of grandchildren, believe it or not. So it, you know, at the Masters, I've really never been anywhere, you might say, with him on the court. It's just because it's a special golf tournament. So we kind of, you know, he teases me about being his caddy. So, but it was fun.
Final questions. I mentioned earlier, you were nice enough to respond in regards to some of the younger players in particular, their wives reaching out to you for advice. Is that the piece of advice of always remaining the wife in addition to being the mother? Is that kind of the piece of advice that you offer to the key to a great marriage and raising children?
Yeah, it really kind of is. I mean, it's very simple, you know, just you don't stop being a wife just because you become a mom. It kind of all goes together, and you have to make it work. And I always tell them, I said, for a good marriage, it's got to be 95% give and 5% take on both ends. So, you know, you can really kind of close it down and just into a couple sentences. But it's been a nice compliment when some of the gals will come to me. So it makes me feel very special.
Absolutely. Barbara, final question. It is Valentine's Day tomorrow. So what's on the menu? What's happening with Valentine's Day 2024 with Barbara and Jack Nicklaus?
Well, I think we're going to get some of our children and wives and husbands and just have kind of a little, kind of like family Valentine dinner. It isn't really a day that we celebrate a lot, but it becomes more special as the years go by.
I'm glad to hear that. I mean, you have enough grandchildren.
24. We have 7 great-grandchilden, 2 and under.
Wow. Wow.
Pretty phenomenal.
Hello, Barbara. I can't thank you enough. I'll let Kelly wrap it up because tears are rolling down my eyes with pride to have the opportunity to spend some time with you, Barbara Nicklaus. You've been awfully good to a lot of people. Thank you.
That's such a nice compliment, Bob. Thank you so much for all your years.
Thank you so much for joining us. Happy Valentine's Day to the Nicklaus family. And thanks for all you've done, as we said, not only for friends and family, but for so many lives that you've touched and the legacy that, frankly, you continue to leave.
Well, thank you, Kelly. That's awfully nice of you to say, but it's been a wonderful life, and Jack's been terrific.
Introducing the epitome of golfing elegance and performance from William & Harry. Immerse yourself in style and unparalleled comfort as you step onto the green with William & Harry's unique durable deerskin and calfskin masterpiece. Unrivaled in its water-resistant design, the WH shoe, which is also available in private label, ensures that you stay focused on your swing even in unpredictable weather conditions. Elevate your game to where luxury meets peak performance. Step into excellence. Step into innovation at williamandharry.com. Bob, I have to believe everybody enjoyed that that interview with Barbara. A truly great woman, and one of the great figures, really, Bob, in so many ways in the history of our game.
Yeah, she's amazing. You know, when I think back of Jack's entire career, she was there plenty, but she was never there too much. What a wonderful balance. And I really admire Jack. Jack's the first one to tell you that one of the secrets to him winning 18 major championships is that he was fortunate enough to find his wife, Barbara Nicklaus, and the marriage and family that they've put together certainly has contributed heavily, not just lightly, heavily to the 18 major championships held by Jack Nicklaus more than any other player that's ever played the game.
We thank Barbara Nicklaus very much and look forward to trying to scale that mountain, as Bob referenced, next week when Rhett Evans, the chief executive officer of the Golf Course Superintendents, joins us to talk about his passion for fitness and, more importantly, all the great things that the GCSAA and its 20,000 members are doing for our game. For Bob Bupka, Kelly Elbin, happy Valentine's Day from Musings on Golf.